Welcome to Chase Your Dream, a podcast that believes that all dreams can come true if you have the courage to pursue them. Each week, we deliver the stories of a common person being successful by chasing the dream. I am your host, Shoman.
To start with, Saurav, I would like to congratulate you for this Cherry Tech Creation Award, which you have recently got a few days back. So, and for the listeners who don't know Saurav Narang, he is one of the famous photographers in India, has been curated with many awards, and is working with Fortune 500 companies, some renowned NGOs, some government organizations in different parts of the world. Saurav, welcome to my show.
Thank you so much, Somen. It's a pleasure, and thanks for a really, you know, wonderful introduction. And I'm happy to, you know, carry on this interview and see, you know, what we can, how we can help the community. Yeah.
So, Saurav, you are done specialization in portrait and travel photography. So, what drag you to photography?
So, basically, I am only learning these things. So, I have not specialized. I am specializing. So, for me, you know, photography is something which gives me a language to communicate to the world. And, you know, that drives me. Like whenever, you know, there's a story that gets published and reaches to the world, like, you know, recently one of my photo essay on Siddhi's tribe, which is a small African, Indo-African tribe living in Karnataka. If you see, like, nobody actually know about them. So, you know, when you get these stories out, there is this sense of pride in that. So that's what, you know.
So which photographer has influenced you, and how did they influence your thinking, photography and career path?
Yeah, in terms of you know, getting influenced, I am really I really love work of Emmy Vitale. I love there is this photographer called Martin Scholler, who is a German photographer, and his work has been, he's, you know, a portrait photographer, and he has done he has taken portraits of people like Obama, Hollywood, and one of his projects, which is where he has done portraits of homeless people, and it's like very, you know, tight, lots of people. I think his work has influenced me the most. Yeah.
What was your career path, and how you get to this career, and how are you in this career as a whole?
So Sumin, like as a career, I was earlier a banker. So I, you know, just like any middle class guy in India, like, you know, I was not aware of these artistic career and, you know, what I want to follow as a career in my life. So I was quite confused. So, you know, just whatever my parents told me, I also, you know, went to normal schooling, then I started graduation. And then, you know, I followed to become a management, like I did my MBA, and I ended up having a job in a corporate world in a bank, in the financial sector. And I was also, you know, quite happy doing what I was doing in the bank. But side by side, this passion of photography started growing. Like, you know, I had this hobby and like to travel and take my camera everywhere. And I was doing it. Over the years, you know, people started recognizing my work. I started getting awards, started getting assignments as a kind of, you know, side hustle. And that has given me that courage to, you know, jump from banking to full-time photography. But again, you know, I would like to say, like, it's not something I'm doing it entirely for money. I think it's more of a transition which has taken shape for me to, you know, develop my personality and to know a bit more while, you know, traveling and taking photographs over the years. So I think somewhere we have to, you know, find peace in our work and find happiness in our work, and that's what I'm trying to do. Yeah.
Exactly what is you want to say with your photograph, and how do you actually get your photographs to do that?
Like with my photographs, see, I'm mostly doing portraits, and when I'm doing portraits, my style is also very much like, you know, street documentary style kind of portrait. So my approach is, I meet somebody, I, you know, kind of, you know, try to know them, and whatever I get information, I just pass it through my photo. And there is, for me, it's like kind of you know, whatever I get from the person, I just try to give it back in a very raw form. So one of the projects I'm working on is called the Project Chehre, which is a portrait project where I have taken portraits of people from more than 40 countries already, from London, from Sweden, from Germany, from India, and I'm also kind of interviewing them. So it's, you know, it's that kind of a thing where I want to give a bit of their personality through my photographs. Hope I have answered your question here.
Yeah. So how did you get a person, place or thing that is in front of the camera onto the film, chip or paper in just the way you want?
No. Like it's, I think it's about communicating. Like if you communicate well to your subject, then you can definitely get your results.
What kind of gear do you generally use?
So in terms of gear, so I totally believe that photographers should not talk about gear. It should be less about gear and more about the process of photography, because see, gear is like any camera is just a tool in your hand. Talking about aperture, shutter, ISO, what kind of things you're using, it's like totally, you know, technical. And this should not come into the process of your photography at all. Yeah.
So how do you educate yourself to take better picture?
I try to educate myself to communicate better with people, to try to, you know, listen their stories. In terms of photography, you don't need to educate yourself. You just have to go talk to people and try to, you know, make them comfortable, and then just take a photograph. That's it.
So what motivates you to continue taking pictures economically, politically, intellectually and so on?
So what motivates me, it's like, see, what I have already told, it's a kind of, you know, a language. It is a visual language. And when I go out, talk to people and, you know, try to get their stories, that is a kind of biggest motivator for me, because I like to, you know, meet people, talk to them, know a bit about them. And I try to get the normal stories out. It's not that I'm chasing like big personalities or something, because somewhere I think it's important to you know, tell the story of Aam Aadmi. So that is what I try to do, and that's what keeps me motivated.
So you are so much passionate about photography that you are almost drowned in the Andaman Sea. So tell us something about that.
Yeah. So what happened is so when I was jumping from banking to photography, I took 1 year gap year, like, you know, 1 year career break. What it means is like I had like 1 year off from my banking, like my job was still there, but I was not being paid. And during that period, I was traveling all around India and some parts of Europe. And I went to Andaman, you know, explored it, because I always wanted to go there, because to see the scenic beauty of the sea life, of the beautiful beaches they have. So one incident happened as I was I got an assignment with one of the big resorts in Andaman, and there the assignment also had this little project about, you know, doing taking photos of their sea life, of people doing underwater dives. And me not knowing much about underwater, so I want, you know, take one of like you have seen that movie Finding Nemo's. So I wanted to do a kind of similar shot, and the property manager told me that you can take you can use a photo which already they have, the underwater diving institute already have. But I said no, like, you know, I would like to take a picture myself. So I also borrowed a camera from that institute, and they helped me. So we went underwater, but I was not knowing a lot about you know, underwater diving and taking photos altogether. And that's how it became a very challenging. When I went, like, when I was under the water, I started taking pictures. And process of taking pictures, I forgot about taking control of my breath. And then it became, you know, quite challenging, and the doctors rescued me. And that's how, you know, the story goes.
Another incident which has happened in Madhya Pradesh, I believe, that wild bee attack.
Yeah, you know, I was exploring a different kind of place. And that's near Panna in Madhya Pradesh, and we were attacked by wild bees. And while, you know, saving our lives, we have to run, and there was nobody. We were like three of us were there, and yeah, it was quite you know very challenging chase kind of a thing, because thousands of bees over our head, and we were started getting bitten by them. I got around 20 bites, like 20 bees dung, and then we luckily found a net cut. We just went behind it, and that's how we all got saved. Yeah.
Like what you hear so far? Make sure you never miss a show by clicking the subscribe button now. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Thank you for your support. Now back to the show.
Now tell me something. When you are a child, how do you, means what drag you to photography? As a normal child, you are attracted towards photography, or it just came gradually?
See, as a child, I was not that much in, because I told you, like, you know, like bringing up in a very normal family, these things are not something your parents would you know allow you to play with. Like, cameras were also very expensive at that point of time. So my entire focus was like just like any other daily kid. Like, interested in cricket, I was interested mostly in cricket, and then, you know, the normal studies, and photography was not nowhere in the picture then.
So what is one thing you wish you knew when you started photography?
I think over the years I have grown, I have developed my communication skills and everything. So maybe, you know, if I would have known about different grants and how to get these projects, been really nice in the earlier stages of my photography journey. Yeah.
So, among your work, which one is your favorite and why?
I personally love the work I have done in like Spiti, which is very personal in nature, and it is more about because, you know, I have been going to Spiti Valley for the last 5 years, and this year due to Corona we were not able to go there, and every year I have a workshop, like a photography workshop in Spiti Valley in collaboration with Spiti Ecosphere, which is a social enterprise based out of Spiti Valley. So that work is quite close to me because of the time I have spent there and kind of people I have met there, and, you know, who have become friends over that period of time.
Tell us something about your Create for Cause, which you have just.
So, Create for Cause is again, you know, an idea which came to my mind when I was working for Barclays. I even discussed that idea with my CEO at Barclays, because she wanted to buy some of my photographs, and because I never liked the idea of doing something for free. I told her, you know, I'm happy to give you my prints, but you have to donate some money to your favorite social cause. And that's how this idea came into the pitch. And the idea of taking a sabbatical also was also revolving around this Create for Cause idea. The idea is simple, like, you know, that instead of doing something commercially, you do it for a cause. Let's say you are a wedding photographer, and you are also very much socially inclined, and you want to do some kind of impact work, then you can also, you know, inspire your clients to do a project under Create for Cause, which means that let's say you charge 1 lakh rupees for a wedding shoot. Now you are happy to give this 1 lakh rupees to a social cause which you want to support, and your client will also match this 1 lakh rupees. So the 2 lakh rupees goes towards the social cause you want to support. So that's how, you know, this whole idea came into the picture, and it's a kind of, you know, social creative experiment, and I'm happy to, you know, do these things and drive it through other people.
So what kind of tools do you use for post-processing? I mean, explain your workflow.
I normally use Lightroom. When I was learning, going through these, I learned a lot about Photoshop. But over the years, I have stopped using Photoshop, and I have only been using Lightroom, because Lightroom is quite, you know, like around 95% you can do your work in like Lightroom, because I'm not doing also very so for me it's more like just playing with like your black points and white points, highlights and shadows. And rest, it's like totally whatever I achieve in camera. Yeah.
Now something, a very personal question, that is, how do you get paid to do what you want to do with your photography?
See, there is nothing, you know, I want to do or something, because I, as I've told you, it's a kind of visual language, and it's a kind of journey. So I'm just, you know, following it, and because I am liking it, I stop liking it if I stop enjoying this process of photography and the journey which I have taken. I just, you know, stop and start doing something else. So the end goal to it, it's just a journey which I have taken, and I'm thoroughly enjoying every bit of it, and it keeps me it keeps me very much motivated and do something and you know, like kind of, you know, follow this journey of passion and kind of, you know, free living. Yeah.
So you have been curated with many awards. So which one, according to you, is the most precious one?
It's like all the awards are similar. There is no favorite in the award. Just like, and see, I think there is a quite, see, difficult. It's again, you know, it is the process. The more awards you submit your photos to, the more chances are that you would win these awards. Because I believe it's the process and your journey into photography, and awards and these kind of things would keep on, you know, coming. It totally depends on how much time you spend about researching about different awards and then trying to submit your work on time. So the whole difference. And because if you see, like, nobody talks about, you know, the failures. Like as a photographer, like I only have like 5 to 6 really renowned awards. But for those getting those 5 to 6 awards, I have submitted to more than 100 award ceremonies, photo awards, and 95 of them I have not, you know, won anything. So that's a kind of failure. Then that's a kind of journey you go through it, right? And it's also very important that people who are like aspiring photographers, they should know that it's not just about winning these awards. There is a lot, you know, goes behind the scenes, and you have to keep submitting your work and try to keep track of these photo awards. And honestly speaking, I'm really bad at it. Every time I kind of submit my work on the last date, and there are so many times I just miss that. So yeah, it's a kind of, you know, part and parcel.
So what next? You have achieved so many things, now what next?
Basically, what I'm doing is, now I'm in Germany. So as a process, what I do is I shortlist some of the companies which, you know, which I would like to work with. And then I try to find contacts in these companies, like the creative head of these companies, or maybe the founders or CEOs of these companies. And I try to reach out to them with a kind of detailed pitch. So on a daily basis, I'm thinking about these pitches and sending these pitches to these people, so that I get to work with the people I would like to work.
Any message for the youngsters who want to aspire this photography?
Again, you know, it depends what you want to achieve from your photography. If you're starting out and you know you have to become a photographer, do you want to make, are you doing photography to earn more money, or are you doing photography to get this visual language for yourself? So it depends a lot upon that. I can't guide anybody how to make more money using photography, but I can guide people to, you know, how they can achieve a visual, how they can get a really happy life. So it's really important that anybody who is coming into photography, that they appreciate the things around them, and then they enjoy the process. And just, you know, once you start enjoying the process, money gets the back seat, and you just follow the journey and try to do what you like to do. Yeah.
Thank you, Saurav, for giving us time.
Thank you.
It was nice talking to you. And again, lastly, congratulations for you for being father.
Thank you for joining us this week. Don't forget to subscribe us on any platform be it Anchor.fm, Spotify, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, JioSaavn, Castbox, etc. Also tell your friend, family members and enemies about the show. Be sure to tune in next week for another new episode. Myself Shoman Sengupta signing off. Not before saying all dreams can come true provided you have the courage to pursue them.